everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with John Couch, John engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together, a hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, July the 13th, 2021. Over the last 48 hours, if you lived in the Tucson Valley, you were rained on. And maybe not last night, but the night before, for sure. It has been a very unusual monsoon with some very, very violent thunderstorm cells. Up at our place in the last 12 days, we're about at 4 inches. So it's great to see things greening up. It's the 11th year on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio for the Buckmaster Show. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters, KVOI. Our website is buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, let's go now on the live line up to the state capitol and Luigi Del Puerto, the associate publisher and Arizona News Service editor, award-winning journalist for the Arizona Capital Times. Luigi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I wanted to give this a couple of days to let the dust settle from the legislative session, which kind of played beat the clock almost right up until the end of the fiscal year. So now that the dust is settled, what was accomplished and what wasn't, in your view? What was kind of how would you characterize legislative session 2021, Luigi?
It was undoubtedly unusual and in some respects quite extraordinary. I mean, this is the third longest session in our history. Almost 2,000 bills were introduced. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Almost 2,000 bills. Typically we'll get, 1,300 to 1,500 bills? So this was a record number. They passed almost 500 bills, and governor vetoed almost 30 of them. The thing to ask is, when faced with something extraordinary, is it the people or is it the situation? And in this case, it's both. A couple things happened. First, the state had held an unheard of revenue amount because largely the economy is doing very well, given we're navigating through the challenges of a deadly virus. All tax collections are up. We also got an assist from the federal stimulus law. And what that produced is a very big cash balance. And that allowed the state legislature, really the sort of the biggest takeaway of this session is it allowed the Republican-led legislature to pass the biggest tax cut in recent memory. That tax cut, if the revenue amount reached certain thresholds, Arizonans would transition to a single 2.5% flat tax rate by fiscal year 2024, and that is capped. That's the maximum tax rate is then capped at 4.5%. And that's crucial because it enabled wealthier Arizonans to avoid, if we recall, voters of our state approved an education surcharge last year, and it would have added a 3.5% surcharge on our taxes. And what this tax package really does is run around that surcharge so that, the tax rate, the cap, is going to be at 4.5%. That's the biggest takeaway of this session.
The workaround then for wealthier Arizonans, they wound up coming out ahead on that.
For the wealthier you get, yeah, then the better the situation is for you. Yes, because that the way the tax was set up last year was remembering this correctly, I think I am, if you're earning $250,000 or more, then you get the surcharge. And so by giving away, this amount of tax cut and then capping how much the maximum tax rate is going to be, then yes, the answer is absolutely correct. You know, the wealthier you are, then the better off you are. Doesn't mean to say that others won't benefit from this flat tax as well.
The minority Democrats had hoped that rather than go the tax cut route, we could have used that surplus, which was what, $3 or $4 billion? Am I correct on that?
Something like that.
Huge. That could have been that money could have been directed to really other things that have been kind of the can that has been kicked down the road for many years.
Exactly, and they fight that fight every year. They fought harder this time around. That you know, the House Democrats, for example, resorted to a couple of political maneuvers. Including walking out or not showing up to work, for example, to try and slow down the passage of this budget. Of course, you know, none of that worked because the Republicans are in the majority, and at some point they were going to get, you know, all of the 31 members in the House and 16 legislators in the Senate to pass a budget. But that Democrats wanted to spend that money on what they believed are areas of spending that have suffered for decades. They wanted to put more money in K-12 education. They wanted money for, to expand children's insurance. They wanted to do a host of things that they believe would help Arizonans recover from this pandemic. Again, that's not to say that Arizonans are not going to benefit from the state budget. Everybody is going to get a tax cut. It's just a matter of how big the tax cut is, and it depends on what your income is. So they fought hard, and you know, from their point of view, they might have won in some areas, but largely they lost. By the way, that's not atypical. That's typically what happens every year.
Luigi Del Puerto is our guest today. Luigi on the live line from the Arizona Capital Times. What about changes to what is commonly referred to mainly by Republicans as voter reforms, voting reforms?
They introduced several major legislation and passed the big ones. For example, changes to what we now refer to as a permanent early voting list. This law that they passed would stop early ballots from going to people or coming to people if those folks have not used the early ballot in the two previous election cycles. And that's a huge, that's a major change from where things are at. Now, if you're on the permanent early voting list, PEVL, which is what I still call it, PEVL, and you've been voting consistently, then you won't have that problem. But if you haven't voted in the two previous election cycles, then you won't get the early ballot. Another change, for example, is to prohibit state and local election officials from obtaining, outside grants from places like Facebook for programs like voter registration and election administration. That happened last year, and so there was some private money that came in to help our election officials, really at the county level, as they're going through the process of, promoting the elections and letting people know. And some money for administration as well. That's going to be prohibited moving forward. There was another change that required new ballots to be encoded with what the Republicans referred to as special anti-fraud protections and unique codes and numbers. And also a measure that really strips the Secretary of State Katie Hobbs of her powers to defend election law changes. That authority now goes solely to the Attorney General, Mark Brnovich, who is a Republican.
Is let me ask you a very political question. Is this an effort to slow down Arizona from going purple to going blue, these efforts?
That argument certainly has been made by Democrats. The argument is that you saw what happened in the 2020 elections. Mark Kelly won. Two U.S. Senate seats are now held by Democrats. The House and the Senate came pretty close to tying the numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, right now we have 14 Democrats in the Senate and 29 Democrats in the House. And by the way, that change really had a big impact in the way things are run and what kind of policies were approved in the state legislature, just because of the very narrow partisan gridlock, if you will. But certainly, to go back to your question, Democrats and progressives believe that these are meant to slow the turning of the tide, if you will. Mm-hmm. Arizona, you know, right now is officially purple.
Yes.
And the activists are arguing that it's meant to protect the Republican majority.
All right, Luigi Del Puerto, always a pleasure to speak with you, Luigi, at the Arizona Capital Times. Thank you very much.
I hope you get some more rain.
Oh, we're getting it, I'll tell you. Thanks a lot. Are you getting any in Phoenix, Luigi?
Oh, we got a really big storm in the west, the hammered West Valley a couple of days ago. We got some in our area, a bit of wind and,
sure,
you know, the sprinkling of rain. We are praying for rain in the valley almost every day.
There you go. Luigi, have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Shelly Fishman is with me in those studios, and he just gave me the thumbs down, which means, the market's down. We'll find out what's going on right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelly Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelly through buckmastershow.com or at shellyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelly Fishman. A little bit waterlogged, but I think over the past week or so, most of us have gotten some rain.
Oh, yeah,
a lot of it.
Got Saturday night, we got a lot of rain and actually took a direct hit from a lightning strike.
Yeah,
you knocked us out for about 36 hours.
A neighborhood thing, not widespread. But still, hey, if it's your house, power's gone.
It's awfully hot.
It is awfully hot when that happens. A good report from Luigi Del Puerto of the Arizona Capital Times. He's such a pro. He's the editor up there. And all they do, well, not all they do, but nobody covers the legislature like the Arizona Capital Times. Good summary.
Good summary of what the effects of some of this legislation that Republicans are pushing through. And the thing that I'm, of course, you know, put the politics aside, but the thing that I'm so interested in is the effects of legislation that keeps on driving money to the top 1 or 10% of the population and leaves everybody else out. And we've been doing that since about 1980. And it you know, and then some of it is deliberate. Some of it is the result of policies, quite frankly, Bill, that we thought were doing well for the economy, but have the effect of pushing money into people's hands who are already well invested. And in fact, there was a really great article in the
New York Times,
on yesterday, entitled "Only the Rich Could Love This Economic Recovery." But what the author here, Karen Petru, is talking about is that when the Fed is putting in policies that have the effect of keeping interest rates very, very low, it promotes people investing in stocks and bonds rather than saving their money in savings accounts and other very conservative things. And in fact, she cite some numbers talking about if you had been invested in stocks over, say, the last 30 years, $10,000, you know, you'd have, you know, something like $20,000 or $25,000 today. If you had put it in a savings account, you'd have $9,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that you'd actually have taken, adjusted for inflation, a loss. Now, the Fed is not intending to increase income, income inequality, but because of their low interest rate policy to keep inflation low and to try to promote investment in the economy by corporations, it has the effect that income is being, and wealth is being driven upwards where the bottom 50% of the population is stagnating.
Yeah, and as I recall, the author was talking a little bit about what's called trickle down, and that maybe the Fed needs to think more, get out of the 1980s style of supply side thesis.
Yeah, the minute she goes into solutions for this problem, it gets a little more iffy. You know, the Fed's job in its charter is to keep inflation under control and to promote full employment. Its job is not necessarily to promote an equal distribution of wealth throughout the economy. So that if the Fed is doing its job, and in doing its job with the tools that it has, it is accidentally or coincidentally driving money to the, you know, top echelons of the U.S. earners, that's a harder problem to fix. And given, you know, the inability of fixing even simple problems in Washington today, I don't hold out much hope for fixing that problem through the Fed. Now, there are also, as we know, there are very specific policies that have been enacted through tax laws and legislation, both at the federal level and at the state levels, that have the same effect. Those you can probably, you know, take a shot at correcting with a greater hope of success. But changing the Fed's charter, I think, is going to be a long shot.
Inflation worries. Yeah. We had a report today showing inflation month to month, the highest it's been in a long time.
Well, it's the highest since 2008, 2009.
There you go.
Because we had a similar circumstance. We had a crash.
Right.
And in the case of 2008, the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. And then you recover from it. Mm-hmm. So prices fall. Mm-hmm. And then the following year, they recover. So naturally, you're going to have higher inflation year over year. Can't look at it that way. You have to look at it over a 2 or 3 or 4 year period to see if the prices we're seeing today are a real reflection of increases or just a bounce off a low. And so, you know, all the people who are saying, we told you inflation was going to happen, we've been talking about it for 40 years.
And then they point to this report today as evidence.
With glee. and it's all political nonsense, Bill.
Yeah.
What we need to see is how inflation maintains itself over the next several months, maybe several quarters, as things begin to normalize and we begin to measure price increases over a longer period of time. So we know that, for instance, lumber prices are already coming down. Used car prices are already coming down. We know that we're seeing some normalcy in supply chains. So, you know, I don't want to say that inflation isn't something we should be concerned about. The Fed does have the power to using interest rates to control inflation if it needs to. It doesn't feel it needs to right now. We need to keep an eye on it, because if inflation takes off, and in fact it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and this is why I hate the stuff that is being said, because it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy as people begin to buy up stuff in advance of what they think is going to be rising prices. So this is not the time to use political rhetoric to frighten people, but that's exactly what people are doing. So calm down. There's some inflation right now. Some of it is a reflection of, you know, just awful things that we could have predicted in this economy as it is coming back. Let's stay calm, watch what happens, listen to what the Fed says about how it will control it if it sees that inflation becomes endemic as opposed to just temporary.
And I think most people would say the current economic stimulus policies have worked, but they worry about long-term results.
Well, that's very true. So we know that the stimulus has worked pretty darn well. We're looking at north of 6% growth in GDP this year, and probably normal growth next year. Normal being in the 2.5-3% range. The problem is going to be, if when all of that stimulus works its way through the economy and then it's not there anymore, whether the economy will normalize in, let's say, a 2% range growth every year, or whether that will drop down to a somewhat anemic 1.1, 1.2%. That could be problematic, because what will happen is we'll have this sugar high from this tremendous growth post-pandemic, and then a very slow period that will discourage people from investing, in the economy and from growing their businesses, et cetera. So what I'm hoping for is that there will be some legislation and some economic policy that kind of smooths things out a bit, so that we don't get into a 2023, 2024 situation where the, you know, growth is in the 1.1 to 1.5% range. That is anemic and will have far-ranging implications, both politically and also, again, for people who find themselves in the bottom half of the the economy's earners, because with slow growth, those are the people who will first suffer from unemployment, layoffs, and that kind of thing.
But 2022, you're optimistic about.
2022 is a slam dunk. It's going to be a great year.
But then the question marks, as pointed out in that, I think it was a Washington Post article, 2023 and 24 could be problematic.
Right, and they're not predicting that it will be, but they say it could be, depending upon how the $1 trillion in stimulus wears off. Now, and this article, by the way, for listeners who are interested, by Andrew Van Dam yesterday, called What Happens to the Economy When $5.2 trillion in Stimulus Wears Off. One of the important things to consider is the possibility of some infrastructure legislation that will add to that stimulus and increase good employment. That is one of the things that I'm talking about that will level this thing off at a more normal, 2% range over the next 3 to 5 years.
All right, Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. I hope all is well. Now you've got your power back and didn't lose a lot of the items that were in the storage.
Yeah, everything seems to be okay.
That's good.
Got my waders out so that I can wade through the water.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Shell, always a pleasure. Have a great rest of the week.
You too, Bill.
All right.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick,
private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. My backyard's looking pretty darn good because we've gotten some really good rain up at the Buckmaster house, about 4 inches over the last 12 days. So you can imagine how green things must be looking. You might want to go by, take a look, and get some plants. Now would be a great time to do some planting for monsoon into early fall planting. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and zocalovillage.com for all the great merchandise, much of it beautifully crafted, handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and some from Europe. All right, let's welcome now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our border correspondent, Keith Rosenblum. Keith has been covering the border for many years, and he has our monthly Mexico report. Keith, how are you?
Bill, you need look no farther than me, period.
Oh, why is that?
No, I just am telling you that in case you thought it was only Mexico, but it turns out that all those years covering the border has also given me unique insights into both nations.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bi-national reporter, Keith Rosenblum. Keith, I don't know if you saw my friend Tim Steller wrote in Sunday Star that column, Let Mexicans Visit Again, saying it's been 16 long months that Mexican nationals with visas who want to go shopping or visit family can't simply cross the border as usual, and this has had a devastating impact on our border communities.
Well, I hate to agree with Tim Steller on anything. as you know, we were at the Daily Star at the same time, and the idea of giving him, you know, telling him that he wrote something prescient, you know, correct, whatever, pains me. But he's absolutely dead on right here. Tim is right for once in his life. Yes. It's a bizarre thing because the data from both Baja to California and Sonora to Arizona is almost identical. And so the idea is somehow that we're going to keep a virus. Those viruses, you know, they're not like undocumented workers. They don't sneak across and then run through a manhole in the Santa Cruz River. So it's ludicrous, as it has been ludicrous. And then what's even worse, on top of the ludicrosity, or whatever you want to call it, is the fact that we have this strange, open-to-interpretation threshold for coming into the U.S. So I actually tested that about 3 weeks ago because they needed to send a delegation up from the city of Nogales to go to visit City Parks and Rec or Pima County Recreation Department. I don't remember the whole name of it, but and CBP was wonderful. The woman that I spoke to at Claudia Zamora at Customs and Border Protection Nogales was just great. So of course, I don't know. She just said yes, that qualifies as essential business. But one of the weird things has been the lack of clarity on what that means exactly. Is it essential business if your own business in Mexico is going to fall apart, you know, if you don't get to an auto zone or come up to Tucson to buy things? So that's been a little bit of a mystery. But why it's simply a bureaucratic inattention, I think, to still be disallowing people to cross over. And by the way, it's a one-way street. Because I've been going to Nogales every day for the last year and a half. Well, not every day, but I have gone over the last year and a half, never more than a week apart from business. And I've never had any problem whatsoever. The Mexicans are gracious. They have sometimes have medical personnel at the border there. They'll have you take your temperature like you do when you go into a Tucson Public Library now. But there's no issue whatsoever. It's only people coming from south to north. And actually, that led to a real, this is largely uncovered up here, but a lot of Mexicans have been coming up on charter flights from charter flights or regularly scheduled flights, depending on where they happen to live. And there was actually a Cessna that crashed from being overweight about a month and a half ago from Hermosillo. There were seven people on it, all died. It was Cessna just leaving Hermosillo. And when I saw the story, I wasn't even aware of what was happening, because I called people and I said, hey, how is it that those seven people, because I read the names, mm-hmm. and I recognized several of them, and I said, well, how is it that they knew each other? What were they doing in the same aircraft at the same time? I didn't realize these were people who were coming to Tucson to have the vaccine expedited, because they were going to have to wait another 3 or 4 months for it to be done in Sonora.
Wow.
Anyway, that is, yeah, and you can actually listen if you go to YouTube. You go to Google, you can actually listen to the control tower conversation with the Cessna that crashes, and then where they ask for another plane to go fly over to see what happened to it. They lost track of the control tower, lost track of it. Anyway, on that particular issue, Tim Steller is absolutely right. Why we've continued is beyond me. And weird thing is that it hasn't affected, I don't know about Douglas, but I do know about Nogales. And I do know that, strangely enough, the Nogales tax revenues have really been almost the same. Nogales, Arizona, which is, Nogales, Arizona exists because of the Mexican population shopping in Arizona. But those stores have done so poor right at the border, and there have been so many stimuli for people from Nogales and Rio Rico and Tubac that actually, as I was reading, at least in the Nogales International, which is a sister of one of your sponsors, so I will trust them, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The revenues actually have been quite stable with all, and so that has not affected, it might have affected a lot of the Korean merchants right along the border on Morley Avenue and on Grand Avenue, and in that, those first few blocks of the border, but evidently the receipts from the other stores on Mariposa Road haven't been as bad as people thought, so for what it's worth.
Well, you got to wonder, though, about Tucson stores that rely on Mexican shoppers. I bet they've really taken a hit.
I'm quite sure. And the person who would speak with authority a lot more than I will ever is Felipe Garcia at the Metropolitan Tucson Visitors and Convention Bureau. He keeps tabs on everything, and he knows. Felipe probably knows all like 2 million by first name basis. He knows all of those shoppers from Sonora, Sinaloa, Nayarit. So he could just make a couple calls for you and confirm that. But I'm quite sure that that's accurate, especially in the hospitality industry. The question then becomes, can we compensate from other areas? But I doubt it. And anyway, it would have been a banner year had we allowed the Mexicans to come up. So anyway, their numbers are now looking good. It was always a little bit ridiculous to me, the restrictions that we imposed, and why we still have this going on is completely beyond me and beyond most of us who live and cross the border.
And U.S. citizens can travel freely into Mexico and return home, which you've done.
My daughter and my son and my family, who have all been going to Peñasco and all been going to Imuris and Santana and all these cities along the border, no one's ever given them any kind of sass at all. And again, going south, the Mexicans are just as gracious and as welcoming as you can be, with no restriction whatsoever. And we, because we have this dictum from Washington, have created this double standard, which is a strange one. But if you come by ground, it's no thank you, go back, or show us you have essential business, which is then you're at the fate or the criteria, the mercy of the agent. We're allowing people who have no background in business and no background in economy, no background in anything, making those decisions. Well, Juan, I don't think that's essential business, so go back. What's that about?
Yeah.
But by air, if you take Volaris from Guadalajara or from Mexico City or from Cabo or from Cancun, you come in no matter what. So we allow the privilege or the elite, the people who travel by air, even though they're not vaccinated, to come up. But that's a small fraction of the number of people who come by ground.
All right.
Canada's been the same thing.
Yep, Canada has been the same thing. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure, Keith Rosenblum.
My pleasure, Bill. Bye.
Thank you very much. Keith Rosenblum with our Mexico report. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back with our monthly arts report from longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail and over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We send so many of our listeners over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Actually, I just had an email yesterday from a listener who's heard me talk about Silver City in Grant County, and they are ready to go. And gave them a little bit of advice about traveling over there, and I'll give our listeners same advice right now. Just a three-hour drive over to a beautiful area of the Southwest, specifically the Southwest portion of the Land of Enchantment, greening up very, very nicely in the Gila National Wilderness. So this would be a great weekend to get away to Silver City. You can start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we check in with Margaret Regan, longtime editor, arts writer of the Tucson Weekly. She started writing at the Weekly really in 1990. She also is the author of two prize-winning books on immigration, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, and The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands. Margaret, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. I'm so happy about the rain these days.
Isn't it nice? Things greening up very nicely, which we desperately need. I could do without the big dust storm that rolled through on Saturday night. But
Oh, yeah, that was wild.
That went crazy. Hey,
yeah, I want to know how many inches you're up to since you've been counting them.
Yeah, my Facebook friends have been following along. Our unofficial total is just under 4 inches, and that we marking the first kind of big rain. That was about 12 days ago. It was on a Friday afternoon. So we're doing real well. Things greening up, and all the cactus that looked like they were dead have shown new life, which is great. And speaking of new life, a structure called Teatro Carmen is climbing and rising from the dead, thanks to our friend Herb Stratford, who gets credit for the rehab of the Fox Theater some years ago. This is Herb's newest project.
Yeah, I'm very excited to hear this. You know, the Tucson Weekly used to be in the building right next door to the Teatro Carmen. And, you know, it's right down there on Meyer Avenue in the old barrio. And it's such a pretty building, at least on the outside, and all those years it was not really being used. It had turned into a storage space. So now the owner wanted to sell, and he wanted somebody who had experience, and I don't think there's anybody with more experience on fixing up a pretty broken down old theater than Herb Stratford. So he just signed the papers last month. He owns it. His nonprofit owns it right now. But of course, they have a long way to go. You know, they need new roofs on the top. There's no stage. This was a really interesting theater, 1915, and it was a Spanish-American or Mexican-American woman who determined that this city should have places where there was Spanish language plays. Mm. And, you know, because in those days, the shows they might want to have about Mexican Americans would be, you know, very nasty and silly and stupid. And she wanted to show, you know, the grandeur of Spanish works. So she managed to get this thing built, and it became a real stepping point. You know, it was a real, it was like a cultural center, and there are little plaques on side the building now about how important it was to the Mexican-American community. Unfortunately, it didn't last very long, and then it went through a whole long period of being all different kinds of things. Herb, you know, has a big job on his hands. He's going to need to raise a lot of money. He's going to, you know, need to find all the kinds of pieces that need to go into a theater. You know, they still have a beautiful tin roof, you know, those sort of a lot of downtown places have that, and there's some of the original lights inside. So he's really excited, you know, now that he owns it, he can really get going on the fundraising, and he feels that there's going to be some grant money that he can get, because it's not just a theater, it's all about culture and history. So I'm really excited to hear, you know, to hear that he's doing it, because, as I said, you know, working at the Weekly next door to it all those years, it was just so sad that it was not being used for almost anything.
I'm really glad it is coming back, and you're writing about that, I think, in The Current, the issue that will be coming out this week, right, in the Weekly.
Yeah, right. I just finished writing it, and it'll give all his, you know, plans. He's going to have a 300-seat theater, which is a really nice size. You know, it's not big like the Fox. I mean, my goodness, the Fox is up, like, what is it, 1,400 or 1,200, something like that. So this is going to be a real nice little spot.
I'm going to invite Herb to come on the show, give him about a half an hour just to talk about his plans and maybe reflect a little bit on the whole rehab of the Fox. So that would be a good half hour. I'm going to do that in August. I'll be reaching out to Herb very shortly. Quickly, Margaret, before we go, the Contreras Gallery, are they reopening?
They have reopened.
Okay.
I think it's very exciting. Sort of one by one, places are coming back into the world. And Michael Contreras, the owner with his wife, Nada, he said to me last year, and I had it in a story I wrote, he says, I am not opening this gallery until we have a vaccine. That's it. That's, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
That makes sense.
And, you know, and that's what he did. And he and his wife, you know, got by in this past year. They're artists themselves and still working on their own art. But, you know, it's tricky to not have your business open and getting money from it. So this is really exciting. He said, you know, okay, so we're finally here. The vaccine is here. And he said to me a very nice quote. He said, we've been in hibernation, and now we're finally emerging. And I just think that's such a nice, you know, it's a memo for our times, you know, that we're all feeling that way.
That was that was your story from June 27th. The Fox Theater has released a fall schedule. Do you have any idea how that is going to work? Are there going to be limits on audience participation? How many can come in to the theater? Will you have to wear a mask? Do you know about any of those things?
I'm not sure because I did look into this a month or two ago, and at that time, definitely, you know, social distancing, masks, all that stuff. I don't know right now because, you know, things are changing again. I noticed that the Loft Theater just said you don't have to wear a mask anymore, and they had been very strict in what they're doing. So I'm thinking, you know, if things still continue to go well and, you know, our numbers of cases are not so bad. I mean, we still have them in Arizona. So, I don't know exactly what they're up to, but they've certainly planned a giant season. They have so many events, and I keep talking about that Irish group that I've been trying to see.
All time.
All time. They're back on the schedule. This is like the third time or the fourth time that they've been rescheduled. So I'm really hoping I can go to see them on November 21st.
The encouraging thing is you've got big names that look like they're traveling again. Lindsey Buckingham is scheduled for December the 5th, the Robert Cray band. I think you're going to see, I hope this holds up. And, you know, this variant has got a lot of people freaked out, but I sure hope this does hold.
Well, I think, you're right. This all depended on artists being willing to travel again.
Right.
And apparently they have enough confidence at this point that, you know, they're going to be all right and we're going to be all right.
How about your work over with the books? Have you been doing pretty much the pandemic ended all of your touring, promoting your books on immigration. But did you do any kind of Zoom interviews? Or
I did. In the spring I did. I actually did one in Zoom at Etherton Gallery because they were having an interesting show about an artist that does, he makes photos of the, let's see, how shall I say this, the stuff that migrants leave behind. And so at Etherton, they did a whole thing. They invited a number of people to come in and speak about the border, and so I was the moderator for that. And then a couple months later, I got, just out of the blue, a college in New Jersey called me up, and they were reading my book, and that was really a nice thing. So, yeah, I don't know how much those things will happen again. I don't think people are going to be traveling nearly as much as they used to when we've all learned that you can just do a talk very easily on Zoom.
Yeah, and I wonder how, when I'm out of time, but I do wonder how it will affect the book festival next March.
I think they're planning on it in person. So,
but you might see more Zooming even as part of the festival, but we'll see.
Anyway, we'll wait and see. Okay.
Margaret, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And let's hope we get some more rain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, that'll wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my engineer-producer, John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.